Let's turn in our Bibles now to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I'm going to be reading from verse 6 to the end of the chapter of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting at verse 6. Now, what is the topic that Paul covers in most of this section? Work. And I know what some of you are saying. What has this got to do with me? I am retired. Well, let me tell you, in the Bible, work extends to all of your activities. It's not just going to work and getting a paycheck. For example, if you have to clean up the house, that is part of work. If you take care of a garden, that is part of your work. You may be retired, but you are still working. And I remember when the kids were young and Jan was home with the kids, didn't have a job, I would say, usually to get out of doing something around the house, but I have to go to work. And she would say to me, well, what do you think I am doing? Taking care of kids is work. Now, remember, when we look at this passage, work is a lot bigger than just the 9-to-5 job. Also, keep in mind, what we're going to look at here is our whole attitude towards work, which at times some people just don't get. They either don't work or they're not working for the right reasons. And finally, if you have worked and retired, then you should feel good because God approves of those who work. Let's see what the Apostle Paul says now, something we all do. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teachings you receive from us. For you yourself know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, that the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They're not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Take special note of anyone who does not obey our instruction in this letter. Do not associate with them in order that we may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard them as enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all my letters. This is how I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And let's pray. Our great God and Father, show us now what it means to be obedient to you in something that is as mundane as going to work, either at an office or at a sink. Please, show us that this is what you have called us to do and the right motivation. I make this prayer in your name. Amen. Now, we have come to an end of our journey in Thessalonians. If you want to know what the book is about, it's about those end time events. And if you want to know about the happenings, the events, you look in Revelation or you look in First and Second Thessalonians because it will tell you about that. And usually what gets our attention is the exciting parts of this. Such things as the Antichrist, the opposition that Christians face as we get closer and closer to that day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. But there are other parts of the second coming which are not so interesting, but yet they are just as important as anything else, such as enduring in the faith, of being part of a fellowship of believers where we have shepherds who are not CEOs, but actually concerned for the flock. And the passage that we are going to deal with this morning revolves around the common life that you and I all live. Life in a covenant community. A life that involves something that we may not think is so spiritual, but it is. Work. Labor. That is part of following Jesus Christ every day. In one form or another, whether it is at a factory or in your backyard, you and I are called to work. And you're saying to yourself, well, this is all about the second coming. Why did Paul include this? I'll tell you why. Because there were people back then who thought, Jesus is coming, why work? Why not just sit around all day, live off of handouts? And that teaching that we find here about the motivation to work, we've also got to place it in the context of the world around us, because there are people who, to be quite honest, would rather not work. Now, back when I was studying counseling over at Troy University, we had this class where you had to bring in your counseling cases and discuss them. Now, I was doing the educational stuff, so, you know, talking about a kid who's failing is not as interesting as some of the other cases that people brought in. Here was one of the cases. There was a man in his 20s who was depressed. Why was he depressed? Because his girlfriend had kicked him out because he wasn't working. And here's what he did all day. Smoked marijuana, played video games. Now, the female counselors were saying something along these lines. Well, he lacks self-esteem. And all the guys were saying, no, he's depressed because now he's got to get out and get a job. That's why he's depressed. But you see, there is this mentality today that people just don't want to work. And at times, work can be boring, back-breaking. There are times where people get up and they just don't want to go to work. But if you're mature, you put your pants on, eat breakfast, get to work. Well, the Spirit's purpose today is to tell us that those who are mature are the ones who will go to work, because God expects each and every one of us to perform a job, and it is part of our ministry as it allows us to help out the church. Your work is beneficial to the Christian community. So let's delve into what the Bible is saying here. Let's see what it says about Paul's basic admonition here. And he starts out by telling us, on the one hand, your work ministers to other people. It is not just about you and making a living. Now, we can go back in the ancient world. And in the ancient world, work was often looked down upon. So, for example, in the Mesopotamian creation stories, you have the gods who created human beings for what purpose? To work for them so they didn't have to work. People were like cattle, which the gods use. And of course, work was dreary. And humans were more like, well, slaves. And remember, back then, slavery was common. Why did slavery exist? Because if you can get somebody else to work for you, why not? And a lot of the kings, the pharaohs, they could do kingly stuff, sit around, eat, drink, while the rest of you built the pyramids, the temples, those big buildings. And for most of time, work has been hard. It has been drudgery. Now, one of the first jobs I ever had was working in a warehouse called the Southside Candy Company. And they stocked everything from salad dressing to cups and candy. Now, here's what you did. In the mornings, you went down into the basement because that is where a lot of stuff was stored because it was cooler. The big truck would show up, and then by hand, you would have to take all those containers off, rotate the stock, and put it in. It was backbreaking work. And I can tell you, it was also boring after a while. And the worst was when the Unijax cups came in. Those are those styrofoam cups. You had to walk up three or four flights of stairs carrying these big boxes. Now, it wasn't so much that it was heavy, but it was hot, it was boring, and it was a drain on your body walking up and down in the heat. Like slavery in some sense, except I got paid for it. But you see, that's what work is like for a lot of people. Now, the biblical idea, though, is a bit different than the ancient world. I want you to notice something. In the biblical creation account, did God work? Yes, he did. He is portrayed as almost like a potter who is forming and fashioning this world, including you. It says he labored or worked for 6 days. And what did he place you in the garden for? Well, you were to tend. You were to work in the garden. And what does it say in Genesis? Let us make man in our own image, and let him have dominion over the fish and fowl. Adam and Eve were to be caretakers of the Garden of Eden, and ultimately of this world. That's what the first couple was. You go on, the patriarchs, they were shepherds. And think of Jesus Christ. What did he do? Carpenter. Jesus worked with his hands. So in the Bible, we don't have this idea of abstaining from the world, abstaining from work. You and I are to be involved in work in one form or another. And look at what Paul is saying here and the value he puts on work. Verse 6, he says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle. In other words, there were people there who weren't doing anything. They were busy bodies, you could say, but they were not working. Stay away from those people because they're disruptive and they do not live according to the teachings you receive from us. You don't want to be like that. He goes on to say, though, for you yourself know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked day and night, laboring and toiling, so we would not be a burden to you. Now, here's the situation. Paul comes into town. You got all these believers in Thessalonica, but they don't have a church set up. Paul had the right to ask for a salary, but he doesn't do it. Instead, he chose to work while he was there to support himself and to help out the church. And notice the wording that he uses here. We labored, we toiled, so they would not be burdened. Do you see the mindset of Paul? He was willing to work and labor to help the church. Like I said, there were reasons why he wants to get this through. One of them was in the Greco-Roman world, work was looked down upon. Second, you had believers who thought, Jesus Christ is coming again, so why should I work? I can just live off of handouts from the church. Paul says no. And there was also an attitude back then of begging. Why work when you can beg and just sit around with a cup out and people throw you some money? And by the way, around here, you can make a lot of money that way. People have done that. But that's not what God wants, because you are not doing anything that is profitable and you are not using what you've earned to help out the church or other people. And the problem is, these people were taking advantage of the church because they wouldn't get involved. And that, unfortunately, is rampant in today's society, where people are just self-centered, so they don't work. Now, this was some time ago. In New York City, there was a 36-year-old man. He said, I like to live. I like to be clean. I just don't want to work. So I go to this restaurant, order a great meal, and I can't pay. And then he gets arrested. Do you know how much New York City spent a couple of decades ago taking care of this guy? It was the tune of $250,000 to feed and clothe that lazy man. $250,000 to take care of a person who wouldn't work. Where is that money coming from? You, the taxpayer. You're paying for this. Or people will take advantage of the church by always asking for a handout instead of getting a job so they can give to those who truly are in need. And we got to remember here, work is a ministry. In verse 8, he's working. Why? To help the church. And some of you work and you give money to the church so that we can go on and keep on ministering. So what does God require of you? That we serve God through our work. That work can be what some of you have done, which you go to the military base, you get a paycheck, and some of that goes to the church. Others, it may be that you've come here, helped in the kitchen, helped keep the place clean. That is part of your work of service, and we should not be ashamed of that. We should not feel that we are being less spiritual because of those things. That is the nuts and bolts of life, sharing. But yet there's so many people that when it comes to work, they want to get a job simply to make money and become wealthy. When I was in college, I studied history. There was one student who told me, well, I like history, but there's no money in it. Well, that's not exactly true. But do you see the mindset? I work simply to get richer. There was a survey done of business students in colleges and universities throughout the world. They interviewed or got surveys from 1,200 of them. 45% said that life, a rewarding life, is found outside of work. In other words, work doesn't offer them anything except a paycheck. Some people may feel that way, but that is not our attitude. We work to help. All work in one form or another is a form of servanthood to each other. Richard Baxter, a Puritan, said this: choose employment or a calling in which you may be most serviceable to God. Choose not that in which you are most to be paid or honored in this world, but that in which you must do the most good and best escape sinning.
Listen to what he's saying. You work as a ministry. You work to help others. Whether it is 9 to 5 or taking care of the dishes. There's that wonderful movie, Chariots of Fire. And there is a line that I will never forget. It is about Eric Little, the Scottish Olympic sprinter. And I think it is his father or an older adult who is talking to him about his desire to run. And he said something which should stick with all of us. You can peel a potato to the glory of God. That is our approach to work. We glorify God in all that we do. And we help each other out by what we earn and by what we do. But on the other hand, we need to keep something else in mind. We look to glory in the work of Christ. On the one hand, there is our work. But on the other hand, there is the work of Christ, which we should not forget. And look at what we can think about here as we focus in on the work of our Savior. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. Again, he says, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work which you gave me to do. And he said, it is finished. Jesus' work in this world was to glorify God by dying on the cross. It was his vocation. It was his calling. And because of that, you all have salvation. And all of the work that Jesus did as our Savior was done perfectly. And it was done in service to us. And our hope in this world is not so much that we do things perfectly, but it's that Jesus Christ's work was done perfectly. So that you have one day rest for your weary bodies. And let all the frustrations of work, with all of its imperfections, and all that comes along with laboring in a fallen world, let that imperfection lead you to the perfect world of Jesus Christ. You may be frustrated by long hours, by the repetitiveness of what you have to do, your own failings and mistakes in your job. But with salvation, even our work is redeemed by the work of Jesus Christ. A couple weeks ago, I had to go up to Pinch a Penny Pool store to buy our chemicals. And I was in there and workers were talking. And I always thought I was the only one who complained about hours and the drudgery of work. I thought maybe it was just me, but no, I was listening to them. And they were saying, oh man, I'm so glad I don't have to be here on Sunday from 1 to 9. It's only 1 to 5. I could not handle it anymore with people asking me about do they need to use the chlorine in their pool and such things. I can understand their frustrations. But on the other hand, that frustration should be taken up with the fact that Christ died for our sins in his calling. And there were no errors. And he did it because of love for you. So let's work in the light of Christ's work, giving ourselves to others, which is really what work is. All work is servanthood. Whether you are a waitress, a teacher, electrician, you are working as ministry. That's the work we do. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we ask now that you will help us
to see our work in the light of the gospel. Help us to desire to serve others by the labor of our hands or our minds. Help us, our God, to increase your kingdom because we are relying on the work of Christ, his perfect and finished work, which will lead to our own rest one day from the curse of this world. Hear our prayer. Amen.